So, how many of you guys learned how to ride a bike like that? No? No? Did your parents ever, like, take you out and, like, hold the back of your bike when you're trying to learn? No? Do you guys know how to ride bikes? I'm just making sure, because, like, you guys are pros or something, and, like, it was so easy for you, just jumped on, and you're like, went or what? What happened? Oh. You were, like, seven, right? I mean, I guess that's probably the right age. Well, so tonight, we're talking still about Joseph, right? We're in this series that we started last week. It's called Big Choices in Little Moments, and we're looking at the life of Joseph, and as we're talking about Joseph, we're talking about these big choices that he had to make. But the moments that he was in when he made these huge choices, they didn't look very big. They looked real small. It was like, there's no way a big choice could fit in this teeny tiny, humble, dusty moment where nobody was watching and there were no spotlights and just didn't feel big, right? He's out with goats and sheep in the pasture. And he's just obeying his dad, doing something he didn't want to do. Going to serve his brothers who were always mean to him. As a matter of fact, his brothers who were like, let's kill this guy when he gets up here. They hated him so much. Didn't feel like a big moment. It was kind of like a really, really humble moment. Him saying, hey, listen, I'm going to obey my father and do something that I don't even think is the thing I really want to do right now. He made a big choice. Somehow this really big choice fit in that small moment. And then, as you guys know, they're like, hey, let's kill him. And their brother was like, no, let's just throw him in a pit because later he was going to go get him. And so he's down just like in this pit and he's like, oh, here I am just out like checking on my brothers and they throw me in a pit. You know, this isn't the place I thought I would end up today. And then to make matters worse, along come these dudes from Egypt and they're, or these Ishmaelites, and they're like, hey, we'll buy this kid down there. And they're like, oh, sure, dude, we'll make some money off this. So they're like, here, take Joseph, give us some money. And they literally sell their youngest brother into slavery and send him off to Egypt. His day just got drastically worse, right? And he's like, man, this just doesn't look like it's getting any better. But choice after choice he makes, even though these moments look like they're getting worse, his choices get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so God is teaching Joseph something really awesome as he's learning how to make these big choices. He's learning how to trust. And so I showed you guys that video of that little girl. It's hilarious to see her hit the mailbox. I'm just like, yeah. But I mean, that's just evil of me. I need to repent. I know it's sinful, but it's funny, right? And so I just wonder how many of us could kind of relate to that and think, when I'm making these choices and God's coming along and I'm having to learn to trust him, because it doesn't just happen overnight where I'm sitting in a pit, some of the worst moments of my life, and I can just all of a sudden just have this faith to be like, okay, let's go. It doesn't work like that. How it works is that God comes along and he stands behind you as you're on that little bike, and that bike represents your big choice and your pit that you're sitting in. And God's behind you and he's got it and he's kind of holding it as you're trying to pedal your little feet off and you're trying to steer it and get all the things right so you don't nail that mailbox, right? And that's God, and he's kind of got you, and he's helping you. But the thing is, you couldn't do it by yourself like she couldn't. The second he lets go, you smack a mailbox. But see, the thing about God is he never lets go. He doesn't let you go hit the mailbox. God says that he's with you, and Joseph learns that this week in Genesis 39. He's going to learn this really big, awesome truth about God, that as long as God is with him, he can't fail. There's always success. As long as God's got Mike, that choice is going to turn out right, not because he's really gifted or he's really faithful, but because God is that strong and he doesn't let go. So read with me. We're in Genesis 39. Let's check out what happens to Joseph. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. We knew that last week, right? He got sold into slavery. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. You hear that? And he became a successful man. You hear that? And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. All right. Things are starting to look up just a little bit. I mean, he's still in slavery, but God's plan is starting to glimmer through all this darkness. Because all of a sudden, where he gets sold is to the dude who's like the second most powerful man at the time in the entire world. Like, this guy was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. And that's where he's working. In his home, helping him. He's like his main servant guy who's in charge of all the other servants. Like, he is in charge of everything, it says. So he becomes successful, but you know why? It says it right there. God was with Joseph. Not because Joseph was super talented and spoke 30 languages and like was like a genius and really good worker. No, I'm sure he had a lot of cool stuff going for him. But the key was the Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. Look, if you're anything like me, when you're sitting in that pit we talked about last week, you don't feel successful. And it might even be hard to feel like God's with you. Because you're looking around at your life and you're like, this is just darkness. This is hopelessness. This hurts. And it's hard to see where the Lord could be with you. But then God comes. Remember, he's still got the seat of your bike. And he's like, I'm not letting go. And he shows up in small moments like this where he's like, I'm still here. Don't give up. I'm still here. Don't quit. I haven't let go. Keep having faith. And you know what he's doing in your heart? When you go, okay, God, I'll keep going. He's building your faith. Remember I told you at the beginning, that faith doesn't just appear out of nowhere. God builds it inside of you. He grows it in those small moments where he's like, I want you to do this. And you're like, it's scary, God. And he's like, I know, but I want you to do it. And you're like, okay. And that okay is that faith growing and building in your heart. And so we talked last week, that pit, it's not always a curse. A lot of times God uses that pit to be a miracle and a rescue in your life. It saved Joseph's life. They wanted to kill him. And now here he is on the flip side of it. He's sitting in the house of the second most powerful man in the world. How did that happen? And not only that, the dude loves Joseph. He's like, you're in charge of everything. Like, you're in charge of my slaves. You're in charge of my house. Like, you are my number one guy. That's a turn of events for Joseph. And so as things were looking worse and worse, Joseph realizes something I want you guys to remember. When the Lord is with you, there is no stopping him. When the Lord is with you, there is no stopping him. So you know what? Sitting in a pit, sitting in a prison, standing outside playing, like wherever you are, if God's with you, no matter what the circumstance looks like, there's no stopping him. He's got big dreams and big plans for you. And he's saying, I've got your bike. Don't give up yet. I've got your bike. I'm not letting go. Don't quit. It says this next. It says his master saw that the Lord was with him. Like, it was so obvious what was going on in Joseph's life that his master looked at him and wasn't like, man, he's such a talented guy. No, his master said, God must be with you. You notice that? Like, it could have been easy for him, who isn't a believer. He's an Egyptian, right? He doesn't believe in God. Not that God. He could have just been like, man, this guy, he's got some talent. But he doesn't. The power of God over Joseph is so strong that even this, like, this guy who doesn't believe in the God of Joseph recognizes it. He sees it. He's like, God's power is on this guy. The Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So it says it again. God is with him, and so there was success. And it's going to keep saying it through this whole passage. If you haven't figured out the key to this passage yet, when the Lord is with you, there is no stopping him. What are you facing tonight? What's the thing that you think is so impossible that God's been telling you to do? His voice is calling out and he's telling you, you hear it, but you're like, that's too big. It's too scary. I don't think I could ever accomplish that. He's like, I know you can't. If I let go right now, you're hitting the mailbox. I know that, but I want you to trust me, because whenever God has you, you can't fail, because God can't fail. So if he's calling you and he's saying something scary, you can look back at God and say, okay, tonight, You could say, let's do this, God. I'm going to trust you in it because I know you can never fail and you won't let me down. It says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. And for Joseph's sake, the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. He recognized, man, God is blessing every single thing you do. Take all my stuff, because whatever you touch in my house grows. It gets better. It's blessed. And so he starts just giving all his responsibilities and everything over to Joseph because he wants the blessing. It's so apparent that God is on Joseph's life. I wonder if he saw it because God gave him eyes to see it. I wonder how often God's hand is on your life and you don't see it. Maybe we're not looking. Maybe we're distracted by other things. But I think God is often making it so obvious how much he loves you and how much he's blessing you. And so often we're just not paying attention. And other people maybe who don't even know Jesus are looking at your life and going, whoa, God is all over that person. Sometimes we can't even see it ourselves. So here's Joseph, blessed like crazy, and even non-believers are like, what is going on? This guy is unbelievably blessed by God. God kept moving Joseph exactly where he wanted him to be. He's positioning him slowly. You're like, how could he have ever wanted him into a pit? But if he hadn't gone in the pit, he wouldn't have ended up in Egypt. And if he hadn't ended up in Egypt, he wouldn't end up in the favor of this guy who's so powerful in Egypt. Like, all these things are just movements. There's steps that God is taking Joseph through because God can't be stopped. And it's not based on Joseph's merit or his skill or his abilities. It's based on the fact that God said, I am blessing you. Some of you guys are sitting here tonight, you're like, I'm not sure what I have to offer the Lord. I'm just not sure. And I'm here to tell you tonight, looking at this passage, it's not based on what you have to offer the Lord. It's what God wants to do in you. And he wants to do some things in you. Some of y'all just need to be like, okay, God, let's go. That's the only thing holding you back, is looking back to God and saying yes. Having a heart that's open to go, move in me, work through me, empower me. God, do what you did in Joseph. But listen, hold on, don't be too quick, because it might not always look like this glamorous thing. Because remember the title of our series, it's Big Choices and Little Moments. And Joseph was sitting in a pit. So following God might bring you through a path that you're like, ah, I don't know if I would have gone that way myself. But if you trust him, there's no stopping him. There's no stopping the things that he wants to do through you. You just have to be like, okay, God, today I'm saying yes. Let's do this. What are you trusting the Lord for tonight in your life? Has he given you something? Is God talking to you and you've heard his voice and there's that thing that you keep putting off? And maybe tonight God's like, no, stop putting it off. You know what it is. You know what I've asked you. Why aren't you trusting me? I want to challenge you tonight to think through that. Even as we're talking together over the next few minutes, think through and ask yourself, ask God that question. What is it that I'm trusting the Lord for? And if you're not trusting him for something, ask him to give you something to trust him for. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him, tell him you want to hear his voice. You want him to move in your life. You want to interact with him. The living God of creation wants a relationship with you. Ask him to give you something to trust. Say, God, I want a reason to trust you. Call me to do something. I believe that if you just looked around your life, you'd already find those areas. I believe that a lot of you are sitting here tonight and you already do have those things that you're like, I have to trust God tonight. I have a choice. Like, I need to trust him in this. It says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife, cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. This is where it gets weird, right? So here's this awesome situation. I'm like in charge of the house of this really powerful dude. All of a sudden, boom, there's the thing that's going to make this whole thing crumble. This woman, this wife of his master, starts to like him and becomes attracted to him and then makes a move on him. It's like, lay with me. That's a big choice in a little moment. It says, but he refused. Good for you, Joseph. He refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about living, about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against? You see what it says next? God. Wait, how's this against God? Why didn't he say, how can I do this great wickedness against my master that he just talked about for the last four verses? I want you to notice something here. Sin is always against God. Sin is always against God. Sometimes we personalize it and we rationalize and we try to make it something different. So we're not responsible to looking up to God and saying, my disobedience ultimately is against you. Which means that choice, when you say no to sin, no matter how small or big you think it is always a big choice because it's against a big God. We've been talking a lot about things that hopefully will give you encouragement, getting out of that pit in your life. And tonight, there's this other side of it, this reminder that God is just. That these big choices sometimes aren't just about you being all like encouraged and running out and chasing after like your dreams, but it's about saying no to the things you know God's already said not to do. It seems little, it seems mundane, it seems religious, but it's what God's called us to do. Here's Joseph tackling the world. Like he's climbing the ladder like crazy. And you know what? Here in a moment where everybody was gone from the house, it says, they're the only ones home. And he's in charge of everything. Like basically nobody would know. The dude could have done whatever he wanted to do. And instead, what does he think of? His big choice before his big God. And he says, I won't sin. I won't commit this great wickedness against my God. What are you struggling with tonight? And we've been talking about a lot about this pit being this just horrible experience in your life, but maybe for some of you, the pit is a sin that you just can't get out of. You're just a slave to it. That temptation comes, and it says next, look at how often she spoke to Joseph day after day. That temptation comes every day. Man, Satan is persistent when he wants you to mess up and he wants you to choose the world instead of what God says. And maybe your pit is that. Like, how do I get out of this sin? I'm addicted to this or that. Maybe some of y'all, you just can't stop looking at pornography. It has just dominated your mind. You've become a slave to it. Maybe for some of you, you just can't control that tongue. That gossip and that language and that stuff that comes out, you just can't seem to control the tongue. We can list the list, right? You know your struggles. You know your pit. I just wonder what it is for you tonight that you're sitting there like, how will I be freed from this? And God says, if I'm in it, I can't be stopped. If you trust the Lord to free you from that sin and that temptation that's coming at you every single day like Joseph, you'll have the ability to look back and go, I refuse. I'm making a big choice, even though it seems like a small little thing that I can just do and nobody will know. In the shadows, in my room, at my house, wherever, people won't know I can get away with this. And maybe you have got away with it a long time and you've become a slave. And maybe tonight you need to get out of your pit. You need to learn how to say, God, if your power is in me, I can refuse. I can say no to this tonight. I can reject sin because of your strength in me. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's influences you're choosing to be around. That every day, like Potiphar's wife, they're coming up to you. These friends, so-called friends, are trying to constantly invite you in to things that you know are destructive for your life. You know it. And maybe it's about being like, no, I'm cutting that off. I'm stopping that. I'm refusing that. Or maybe it's just your own flesh coming up to you, reminding you, craving things that you shouldn't. And the Lord's like, listen, have trust in me and let me help you stop this. Let me pull you out of this pit. Listen, you're not the only one in the room. Every single one of us, we'd be lying if there's one person in this room that's like, I don't battle sin, because we do. It's just the truth the Bible says we do. What's your pit tonight? What's the thing tonight you personally, stop thinking about the person next to you. It's not about that. It's about you and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus as I stand on the stage and I have to look honestly at my own heart, even as I preach these words and say, God, what are you calling me tonight to give up to you? What's my pit? We're in this together, you know. We need to battle together against this sin. What's your pit? What do you need to give up to the Lord tonight and ask him to help you step out of? It says, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house were in there. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. So Joseph's just doing his work, just minding his business, doing a good job. And she comes up and she grabs his garment, like his like jacket, and like pulls on it. And he's like, nah, you know, like I'm one of those. I don't know what it looked like, but it was like, ah, that's what I would do. And then he just turns and runs and she's like tug of war, I guess, just pulls his jacket right off. And so when her husband comes back, check this part out. As soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, he fled out of the house. She called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he's brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice he cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came into me, laughed at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. She totally lied. It's like a Jerry Springer episode. Like she goes in and she's like, hey, listen, this dude tried to take advantage of me. And I have his clothes to prove it. It's like basically caught red-handed. But she totally twisted the story. That's not at all what happened. But she told the dudes, the other workers of the house. Then she told her husband. The situation just got worse. Here's Joseph thinking, man, things are finally looking up. And I sink back down into another pit. Literally, because look what happens next. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, he says, this is the way your servant treated me? His anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. The dude goes back to a pit. He gets thrown in prison for something he didn't even do. People just keep doing that to him. His brothers do it. Now this guy's doing it, and all he's doing is following Jesus. Have you ever felt like that? Like, God, I'm trying to serve you. Lord, I'm trying to live for you and trying to do what's right. Why does it seem like everything bad happens to me? Joseph could have easily said that right there. And I know I've said that many times in my life, believe me. I've looked at God ticked off, just like, are you serious? I'm trying to do the right thing, God, why? Joseph doesn't take that response. Here he is thrown into prison now and shouldn't be in prison. And he doesn't respond that way. You know why? Because God is still in control of every step of Joseph's life. Every time that thing happens that seems unjust to you and you still turn to Jesus and say, I'm following, your faith grows. It gets stronger. Your relationship with Jesus gets stronger and you trust him more every time you take that step. Even in jail, God can't be stopped. Even in school, facing that bully every single day, God can't be stopped. Even when you're sitting and you feel like you're all alone and nobody's talking to you and you don't fit in, God can't be stopped. Even when you're facing the scariest situation of your life, God cannot be stopped. He's bigger. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out exactly how you want it to turn out, but it does mean that God's plan's so much better than yours. And he has not left you. He's behind your bike. He's got the seat and he's not letting go. You're not hitting the mailbox today. God is not going to fail you. It ends by saying this, and the keeper of the prison, right? So now the prison guard put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Like, all right, the dude just gets thrown in prison, and then he's in charge of everything. It says, who were in the prison, whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge. Like, who does that, right? Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. There it is again. Like, sandwiches this whole passage in, right? Starts off by saying it, ends by saying it, because it's that important. God was with Joseph, and so Joseph had no choice but to succeed. Even when he plummets down into pits and prisons and all these different things that seem terrible, God shows up. God shows up and makes him succeed. The prison guard even looks at Joseph and is like, bro, you're awesome. You can just be in charge. I'm going to go sit down, drink my lemonade. You take care of the prison. You're that, you know, like, blessed. Like, go ahead. Whatever you touch is blessed. Now, that might not be you. You're like, man, I don't feel like everything I touch, I'm blessed. And that's okay. That's okay. Because that's not the point. The point is, when God is with you, he can't be stopped. Have I said that enough times tonight? I tried to say it as many times as I could because I want you to walk away remembering it. I don't want you to forget it. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever sin is holding you down, if God is in your life and you're trusting him, you will succeed. God will be there in the way God wants it to happen. So here's the question. Will you trust him? Will you let him keep his hand on the back of your bike, or are you going to try to take off on your own? That's when you hit the mailbox. Maybe tonight he's calling you to make that decision and say, God, I'm choosing to trust you. What's your struggle? What's your sin? What's your pit? Bow with me for a second and let's just talk to God together. Will you just ask him right now, God, what's my pit? What's my sin? What's that thing that's scaring me and I'm not trusting you with? As we worship together with this next song, will you just keep praying that in your heart? Just keep asking her to point that out, to show you what that thing is that tonight before you leave, that you pray and you give that over to Jesus.